And now back to your regular programming.
If you speak better to yourself.
You showed up for like probably the dumbest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Let's have that smile again.
Tell me how that happens. Physically should not happen.
Relax.
If you say
give me as well.
Three times a day. God will light it up.
He's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by the teammates every week. It's just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. Today, we have got a lot of conference college football realignment garbage that we have to react to. Craziness continues. The speculation heats up. Blah, blah, blah. The same story over and over again. We're also going to react to the big man, Caden Proctor, pulling the old switcheroo on Iowa as he's going back to Alabama. Our thoughts on that coming up, as well as Sean's recap of his trip to the promised land, his Hajj, his return to the Mecca, to Japan, and he's back after his religious pilgrimage. Sean, before we get into it, can you just share a quick word with our listeners on our good friends from BetOnline?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up religion. I didn't categorize it as that because I don't align myself as a Buddhist or people know me. It's not the biggest role in my life, but there was some spirituality. I found it on the Fushimi Inari hike. I wanted to go all the way to the top, Joe. I didn't want to quit like these tourists. I wanted to make it to the top and just see what it was like there. Everyone stops 45 minutes up because they're walking uphill and they're taking the stairs and they're tired of the stairs. And I said, you know what? You loser, you're going to the top. That's what you're going to do. You're not going to stop like all the other the tourists. You're not doing that. So I'm hiking. I'm sore and my feet hurt and I don't know what I'm chasing for up there. I don't know if it's spirituality. I don't know if it's a dopamine rush from the hike. I'm not sure. It's 8 a.m. I'm hungover, but I want to get the hike done. I'm climbing and I'm climbing. I'm walking through the gates. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Turn the music off. Listen to nature. See the top. Get to the top. Joe, it all becomes clear. Everything rushed in. Marquette covering 14.5 versus Western Kentucky on Friday, the 22nd, 2 p.m. TBS. Oh, do you like that? You want to bet on it? Go to BetOnline. Tournament's here. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information about the tournament anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
That is by no means the direction that I thought that read was going in. That, I mean, that honestly, you impress me sometimes with the way that you lead these things in. Sometimes you do it like a complete ham-fisted buffoon. But you've perfected the art of doing an ad read. I respect it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. If you want to get – it's March Madness. This is when we gamble, everybody. This is when we do it. God, it's so good to be here. I'm not watching enough basketball, college basketball. I'm getting fired up, excited about it. Overs, unders, everything. Bet online. That's where you got to go.
Yeah, of course, the one year that I pick a bunch of upsets correctly is the year that I'm not in a gigantic bracket pool and I'm in with just a couple of idiot friends. So the bragging rights lead to absolutely nothing. But we need to certainly catch up on what has happened in the college football world as Clemson is filing a lawsuit against the ACC. They are following in the path of Florida State as they are trying to find a way out of their conference. Now, Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports covered all this, did a really good job detailing all this. There's some kind of other factors to other teams that could leave that I want to talk about in a second. But the gist of it, Clemson is just putting together one of the sloppiest court argument or legal arguments that they possibly could in order to find a way out of leaving the ACC. The way that I'm kind of portraying and viewing all this is that we're eventually going to get to this spot where enough of these ACC teams are going to try to find an exit or are going to get motivated to find an exit that it's going to lead to the dispersion. Now, it's important to note that in 2026, ESPN has the option in order to get out of their current contract with the ACC if they don't feel satisfied with it. So if there is some sort of a factor here that ESPN is pulling some backdoor strings and they want to improve the product of the quality of the deals that they have for other conferences, they could certainly do that in 2026. But the important piece here is that Clemson is trying to leave the ACC and jump elsewhere. What are your just initial thoughts on this, Sean?
That Clemson has an identity crisis. because they're not built, at least the football program, not necessarily built for modern college football. And as much of a nightmare as it must be for any coach or athletic director or player in this weird puberty transition time for the sport, where's the self-reflection on understanding you're not meant for this? You're not you're not handling your business in the ways that others are, and they've caught up. Because Clemson 4 years ago, holy hell, bring them into the conference. All they can do is add. All the momentum's with them. They have guys going to the NFL, guys going super high in the NFL draft, stars they were pumping out. And since it's been, okay, some quality players, okay, they have some wins, and they're just kind of teetering between good and great. And last year, anybody remember a game from last year from Clemson that makes you think, wow, let's get it going? No, they lost to Florida State. That one was a chippy one. But other than that, they don't know who they are. They're not built. They're not ready for it, Joe. Oh, are they going to go and deal with the drama in the Big Ten, the SEC, wherever? They can't handle that. They're Clemson.
Well, okay, so this is what I put out and I talked about on Rufino and Joe. And it got a little bit of pushback because I understand both sides of this conversation here. I get the desire for them to want to leave because the amount of money and the ceiling for the amount of money that they can make is significantly higher in the Big Ten or the SEC. But at the end of the day, as successful as they were for that very brief stint, as we're starting to see, Dabo and this Clemson program isn't really built for the modern NIL era, the transfer portal era, to be a national championship winning team. The main saving grace for them and what helped them propel them forward in order to win and to get to the playoff and to compete was because they were the top dog in a conference that had a bunch of puppies, that didn't have a lot of dudes, that were a lot of programs that were going to put up much of a fight. So they
weren't challenged often.
They were able to put together really elite rosters and then step in, dominate the competition, occasionally slip up here and there, but dominate the competition and then go on and compete very closely with anybody that they played in the playoff to help them win national titles. If they go to the Big Ten or to the SEC, which I think it's more likely the Big Ten than the SEC because of the already established footprint that they kind of have in that general region, I think that there's other programs that they would rather target than Clemson. There is a very small likelihood that they find themselves in the upper echelon. Historically, Clemson's not an elite football program. It's just not. This isn't where we can talk about Washington or Oregon or Texas or Oklahoma, who have at least have spurts of success that we can point to and say, this was a really good string and period of time that they could eventually get back to. If Clemson, and I think this might be generous, I said that they would go to Big Ten and be at Penn State level. I think that was way too generous. I think that they would join and they'd be at like Iowa level. You know, good, but just not good enough to win the Big Ten and not good enough to find a way into the playoff. Maybe they sneak in every so often.
Yeah, it's unless they modernize quickly, it wouldn't happen. Unless they just decide, hey, we're going to become a shark. We're in the shark tank now. I don't see it happening because the talent is moving so quickly. And I personally am a fan of how Dabo conducts business. I like, hey, we're going to recruit you. We're going to develop you. You're going to be a very well-rounded person if you put your mind to it when you leave this school. I think people and athletes can do that wherever they want to be. But when you get a push from a motivator like Dabo, I get it. You're building the culture. You're building the program, history, all that. But that also may stem that's me. There's a lot of people that grew up with more change than me, that moved more than me, that had different experience where they accept change and the transfer portal, moving schools, everything new all the time. And I get it. And so as much as I like what Dabo is doing for the culture of football, I don't see it translating on the field. Are they going to become world beaters in the Big Ten? Do you think they're going to beat Oregon six times in a 10-game series? No. No. And if you can't do that, then how are you going to make the playoff? I know that the jerk asses are going to keep on trying to expand it, but it's not going to be competitive enough. Right now, stay in the ACC. Chill out for a little bit. And when it all comes crumbling down, you're still a profitable institution with a name brand program because of what you did in the 2010s. Then you can move in there if you and you have the reputation, so you're not caught with your pants down.
I think the most insane part about this is that there's this conversation of them getting more money, and having more money is important to them. And that if, you know, you stay in the ACC doesn't dissolve and they constantly win it after Florida State and North Carolina leave. Like the conversation is that they wouldn't be able to have the financials to sustain success. But I would argue that right now they haven't really shown an aggressiveness to use that money to build their roster. So where is that money going to go? Are they going to build 10 more slides in the facility?
Yeah, it can't go to the facilities anymore. It's going to the players. And at least, at the very least, Florida State is being aggressive with transfers. And they're sweeping the market, trying to see who would fit for them. And they're bringing transfers in to help improve the program. They're bringing in seniors. They're bringing in talented guys in the draft. I thought they were tremendous last year in that aspect. And that is great momentum for the program. It's completely different for Clemson. We're going to be looking at it as, is this the year that Clemson catches fire because they have this four-star quarterback recruit from Southern Georgia that we don't really know much about that's been sitting for a couple years? Or is it going to be another situation where the guy can't deliver the ball down the field and their weapons are weirdly bad for Clemson? It's going to be closer to the latter for me if they can't actively bring guys up from the FCS, find guys that are coming up from the G5, finding the talent all around. And there are dudes that would go to Clemson. There would be plenty. No, why wouldn't?
This is an even dumber part too. And I know that we're kind of tearing them down in an unrelated conversation point. Dabo still has not addressed utilizing the transfer portal. And I don't know if there's this expectation and thought that if they go with a different coach at some point, that suddenly there would be this better commitment and there would be suddenly rapidly more success. I just don't know. My whole point why I brought up them in their history of being a program, they don't really have anything to point to of like, okay, if a coach gets pushed out, what can they go back to being? But what you're mentioning here with the transfer portal is it's not like there's like Stanford or Notre Dame or one of these academically focused institutions that it makes it very difficult to get guys to transfer in. And that was a hurdle that Notre Dame was able to overcome. Stanford still has not been able to overcome that. It's not hard. It's a tough school to get into, but it's not like it's a program that's not sought after. It used to recruit at a very high level until NIL started to become more prevalent.
Yeah, it's a mess. They don't know who they are yet. And maybe we're the rubes and we're getting long conned and they didn't want to get caught up with any of the mess before collective bargaining happens. And maybe they're just patience is a virtue. Hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to enjoy our quiet life until we have to go to the big city. But maybe they're saving up to go to the big city. I don't know. I don't know what that game plan is because it feels so disjointed to try to make these moves with the current culture there.
See, here's another added piece of this. If there was a team that would be more disgruntled, Jesus Christ, if there was a program that was more disgruntled and more motivated to be the second one to file for this lawsuit and to sue, I would argue it should be Miami because Clemson has benefited off of the fact that they're the best team in the ACC over the past decade and a half. Miami leaves the Big East, goes to the ACC, and since their entirety of existence in the ACC has been dog shit. They have not been good. They have not been consistently competitive. They have not come touched anywhere near their previous level of success. So one could sit here and argue that if there's a program, a team that has been hurt more by the ACC, it's Miami. That's why, why is it Clemson? Why is Clemson the team that's like, wow, the conference is doing us dirty? There, man, we're getting held back. You guys are really holding us back. You've gotten the highest rewards out of this as you possibly could have. You won national championships because you had nobody to compete with. And then the reason why Florida State's trying to leave is that they were at one point independent and they obviously won their national titles with Jimbo Fisher. But they're yet to get back there. And now the argument is because it's clearly a lower level of competition, it's hurting our chances of winning a national title. So I get Florida State, I get Miami. I just don't get why Clemson thinks that they're – you brought up identity crisis. It's like when you see a certain group of people like being disenfranchised because they're being impacted by something, and then some dude off to the side is like, yeah, me too. And he's part of the problem.
I like that you kind of boiled it down to the Hannibal Buress meme where he shoots himself and says, who did this? That's what I kind of like that is boiled down to. You know what? If they figure it out, I hope I'm the Rube, waiting to get long conned. I don't think I am, though. There's too many other smart people that are going different directions than Clemson is. So if you want to be quaint, not recruiting school, then why are you trying to go to huge, bright lights, tons of sharks? No, that's not your thing. You're a small business. You don't need to go into the massive corporate America and try to make it. You're doing well as a small business. And now they want to just try to make that big jump? Give me a break. Enough.
Other teams that could jump ship, Ross Dellinger highlighted UNC as the biggest, as it was described, linchpin for inevitable movement because of their prowess in other sports outside of football, and they're competitive enough in football. They, to me, make the most sense to jump ship because they can go to the SEC or the Big Ten and be mediocre in football and then just be as dominant as they've been in
all these other sports. In basketball, they elevate in lacrosse, their field hockey program's insane. I think their baseball team's good. So they have what UNC recruits a lot of athletes really well, and that's a valuable addition, especially if we're looking at the mess that's coming. So bringing that school in, it was also good academically, and then you get some real good turf in North Carolina. That's cool. I think breaking up them and Duke is weird. If I'm bringing UNC, I'm going to bring Duke. That's how it's going to be. I'm sure they're going to find a way to play every year somehow, but Bedlam ended. Why wouldn't this one end?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Why would Bedlam end? Why would anybody say, oh, we don't need this anymore? Oh, okay. That just sucks. So I'm hoping that it can be a joint pairing. If UNC makes a deep run in March Madness here, then we could be seeing a nice bid for them to join the conference.
If Duke goes to the SEC, do they just become Vanderbilt?
Oh, well, it would be Vanderbilt for they'd be like Vander. They would, yeah. The Duke basketball team would be like the Vanderbilt baseball team if they went to the ACC or SEC rather.
That's kind of what it feels
like. They got one sport. Well, and Duke was building a great program in the ACC, though.
Right, that's important to add in there. Another one of these examples of somebody who's probably not going to do good in football in another conference. I just would like to focus on, though, before we move on to the Caden Proctor thing. I think it makes more sense for them to go to the Big Ten because the SEC has no lacrosse presence. And I know anyone listening to this goes like, what the hell are you talking about lacrosse? Lacrosse is really important for the alumni base that went to UNC and that went to Duke. There are a lot of former members of these lacrosse programs, fans of these lacrosse programs that work big corporate finance jobs all over the country. Yeah. So those are the people that you want to, because then what the hell conference are they supposed to compete in lacrosse? The ACC, if you leave, isn't going to just say like, oh, you guys can stay and play lacrosse if you want. No, that's not going to happen. The Big Ten is lacrosse. The SEC does not. Does it suddenly create a lacrosse league? It'd probably be one of the shittiest lacrosse leagues ever.
Seeing how this shakes out with other sports is going to be interesting because Boston College women's lacrosse, and I only know this because my sister went there. We watched it every year. Their women's lacrosse team was in the national championship every single year. They won some, they lost some, they lost more, but what happens there? That's huge competition. Did we leave? Seeing how it all shakes out with the other sports is important, at least to me, because as football is clearly number one, everything else does matter, at least in my eyes. So hopefully they can retain the highest levels of competition if that's what they're aiming for across all different conferences.
So Caden Proctor, to move on to our next topic, the former Alabama, former Iowa, now current Alabama offensive lineman, freshman All-American, had a really good finish stretch of the season. He left Alabama as soon as Kalen DeBoer came in to return to his home state of Iowa, only to make the decision that now at the end of the semester, he is going to be going back to Alabama. Now, the scope of this, I don't know the entire validity of him coming in and doing an IL sponsorship deal for a local dealership and taking money at Iowa and then turning around and leaving. That's a little bit messy. The other part of this too, apparently the way that I'm reading this, and I got in this huge shouting match with Blake over it. I think it's so simply that he went on spring break with his boys and at Alabama from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
That was who he went on spring break with, not the Iowa yep. guys. And they were all talking about how fun and great everything is. And he's like,
oh, DeBoer's awesome. He's so different than Saban. It's like, how could you not sell him? You think they weren't on a mission to do something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's craziness. This is, Blake's probably just pissed he didn't go to LSU.
He just hates when Alabama gets good players. That's the reality of it.
But I was reading, I guess Scott Docterman had a piece, I guess the Iowa writer, he had a piece with The Athletic. And
he's a journalist and his name is Docterman?
Maybe it's Docterman, Docterman. I went Docterman.
I think
that's my best guess at it.
I looked him up and I found him pretty quickly. I mean, this guy being a journalist might be one of the most biggest cases.
Hey, can I try to put my journalist hat on here and okay, give credit to an article that I read? God.
Continue. He should be a doctor. He's a journalist. He's not Scott Journalism, man.
All right, freaking DeLeon, why don't you join the wine company? Yeah, I've seen those bottles. Give me a break.
What
bottle? But yeah,
where are you? DeLeon
wine or DeLeon tequila or something like that. Yeah, there's DeLeon all out
there's
there.
There's DeLeon tequila, but the DeLeon wine is actually owned by like my grandfather. I don't think that's been shipped anywhere.
Okay, really,
like,
fine.
Tequila then. So
tequila then.
Tequila.
Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? Cheese steaks suck.
Screw you.
but he noted he recalled when Proctor was at the Iowa Meds basketball game and they did that interview with him. Proctor said, "This is ultimately where I wanted to be. It's the first place I thought of when I entered the transfer portal, so I had my mind made up when I entered the transfer portal." That's your mistake, Caden. Why you had your mind made up and you didn't go and see if it was actually going to be a good fit for you. So now you kind of harshed everyone's mood at Alabama, and now you're also kind of killing the vibes at Iowa, and now you're going back to Alabama as maybe trying to pull a very short-lived LeBron arc. That's fine. if that's your market and you can go wherever you want to go and that's what the portal's saying you could do, that's up to you. But if you're mad about this, he made up his mind before he explored other schools, at least per this at that interview. And maybe he's just, putting it on because he's at the basketball game. Everyone's showing him love. Everyone's excited. That's what I do also. I'd be Team Iowa if they brought me out, put me courtside at a game. Sure, I'm in. But how mad are you going to be when you start thinking, oh, this is the first place I thought of? You ever go to the first restaurant you go to? You just look it up. Hey, let's go to a burger joint. It sucks. How pissed can you be? You did no other research. How mad are you going to be with your meal? You should be mad with yourself. Because
Alabama's a burger joint, apparently.
That's you know what? I'm just saying. Well, he tried to leave good burgers for great burgers, I guess. And then he didn't like the new burgers because the lettuce is different. Why didn't you go and try some of the different burger joints around the U.S. and see where you might have a little less commotion? I think athletes now should try not to make as much commotion around themselves because the vultures will come and start getting at you. You have to be a little more premeditated with your actions. And I know you're a college kid. Which it's a crazy thing to say and have expectations of that.
He left five guys to go to In-N-Out and then realized In-N-Out was
not as good as
he remembered it. And it was better to just go back to five guys.
He doesn't like That's crinkle cut. He got a taste of the Cajun. Is Cajun spicy? Yeah. Fill the bag up, please and thank you.
I laugh at the LeBron comment you made because, look, if I'm Caden Proctor, I'm spinning this as – I came back and I did that car dealership ad, and that is a massive contribution to the economy of the state of Iowa. If I'm him, I'm pushing that narrative and be like, hey man, I did my part. I did my part. I helped the state.
So the car dealership is LeBron's two rings in Miami. So that's what we're hearing.
Yeah. No. It's because he's from Iowa. So it's the one ring that he had in Cleveland.
I had it flipped up. He started Alabama, Cleveland, went to the Heat, went back to Cleveland. That was my LeBron arc.
I kind of perceived it as he's like, oh, I'm going to go home. And then he realized, man, this is terrible. This was a really bad idea. They're not going to be successful. Why did I think that I could turn this thing around? And then he's like, I got to go find somewhere else to go. It would have been funnier, I will say, if he left Iowa and went to like Ohio State or went to Georgia. That would have been comedic. I think because he goes to Alabama, it's just like, okay, here's just another indecisive 19-year-old, and Buddy needs to just settle down, sit down in the classroom, and just stop goofing off and just pick.
It just makes so much sense when you actually start thinking about what a college kid would do. Just a college kid. If you're not five-star supreme athlete, offensive lineman with NFL aspirations, if he does. I transferred to a new school, linked up with my boys over spring break. Everyone's having a great time. College spring break, supposed to be the best time ever. And then, what do you know? We're all supreme college athletes. It is the best time ever. And then you're like, wow, now I'm going back to Iowa to the weight room.
Back to the corn.
And I don't even have my boys with me? Ah, this kind of stinks. I don't know anybody here yet. I haven't done a practice yet. I don't know. So I get it. Because that's what dumb college kids do. Talk to some college kid you know about the relationship they're in. Tell me if it makes any sense to you. It doesn't anymore. At least not to me.
This is the dumbest part about all this kind of closing thought here, is that he enters the portal, and I would argue him entering the portal, you're already a top dog. You know, you're a premier player who had a top 10 college football program is going to garner a lot of NIL money. And then you're going to be around a bunch of other dudes who are making a ton of NIL money. The vibe is just completely different. Regardless of just like, this is purely from the perspective of like a 19-year-old. Not from the, I want to get ready to go to the NFL, because clearly that's not the first thing he's thinking of. But like, if I'm around a bunch of dudes who have a bunch of money and I've got a bunch of money, I'm taking advantage of the fact that I can go to the bars and I can spend a bunch of money like a jackass, and I can impress the sorority girls, and I can impress all the other goofball students that are there.
Because it does.
So for him to go to Iowa, though, it's like, you really clearly didn't think this through. You just like thought of like, oh, I should just go back home. And I kind of triggered this all into the whole conversation we're having here, where it's like he's hanging out with his boys. They're probably spending an exorbitant amount of money on this trip. And then he's thinking to himself, why the hell did I go back to Iowa to sit in the cornfields where like I'm the only dude and it's not as much of a big commotion when I walk into a party, you know, like I'm sure it's a big deal, but
you're not worshipped in Iowa as an Iowa football player, because a lot of Midwesterners act a little bit differently. You get some drinks in them, everyone's about the same. That's kind of what you learn. But in SEC country, it's, oh, there's Caden Proctor. Oh my God. You get it. There's the buzz. That's how it is. And you're famous. You're famous in SEC country. And not in SEC country, you're playing football. You're going to school. You go to some parties. You talk to some chicks. It goes well. It goes well as a college football player for the most part, just socially. As long as you're not a weirdo, like, you know, somebody on this show. But for the most part, it goes well. And I think he wanted it to go bonkers. And you know what? Go bonkers then. Go bonkers. That's what you're supposed to do. Go bonkers. You're a great player. Good for Alabama somehow. You can't. The claws are in.
Someone needs to fix the transfer portal. That's another conversation for another day. I would like to wrap up our show today with, we don't need the full trip synopsis, but the last time that we got an update from you, you were telling us a little bit about your adventures of just wandering into bars, and we didn't talk about this. So like you went on your trip and it seems like towards the end of it, you were becoming a little bit of an outdoor zoo animal, where they were, which I'm so happy that this is kind of the result of it, where you ended up in some certain places and they're like, look at the gigantic white American. Look at this. Just this guy is not like anything that we will ever see in any of the Asian countries. And it sounds like there was a lot of gawking, which is so goddamn funny to me. I can never experience this. And you probably don't experience it much in the US, but what was it like?
Well, there's always, let me start off with this. All right, Rack, Chester, just listen up. There was no prostitution. And I know making an announcement like that, it makes you sound guilty as shit, but I'm just letting you know to not ask me about it. All right. Stop blowing up my Twitter lines. You go, yeah, I saw the district. I checked it out. Not my scene. That's cool. It's just not. So we're going to curb the comments there. Please and thank you. And that's for everybody else in that chat. All right. No more comments about that. Thank you. But yeah, there was Osaka was interesting. And I talked to you when I was in Kyoto. Osaka, they talk a little bit more loudly. That's kind of the reputation. Bit of the heart of the country, where some more like real people are. But there comes in being massive white American, and there were also big whiteys everywhere. There were tall guys. I was walking down the street, saw a 6'9", probably 55-year-old guy, white. I'm just like, all right, cool. So I'm not just the tallest guy. And I was also hanging out with like a 6'10 Japanese guy. And I'm like, oh, so that kind of, I don't know how we found, I don't know. It just happens. I just found the other tallest person there and we became friends. That's Tenshi. You were the best. But yeah, there was a good amount of gawking here in the US. I get more like, you know, panicked eyes there. It was just kind of like, that was most of it. There were not many requests for pictures. I initiated a lot of picture taking. But there was a sports bar, which I didn't do any research on. I just walked in. I was walking around the street, saw a sports bar, said, let's go check out a sports bar. And I guess there's a whole bunch of old soccer players in Japan that either played professionally or they are all on a team, and they opened up a sports bar. Great story. Cool. After about, I don't know, 10 minutes in the bar, I find myself with my hand on the floor doing a board drill or just doing path setting reps. Just so they could check it out. And then I go.
10 minutes, that's it? That's all it took? Oh, 10 minutes?
So quick. Once I hit somebody with the kenpai, the cheers, then that is kind of when most of the people that I interacted with, that's what a sign of comfortability. Hey, I'm cheersing you. Now we can, if you want to ask questions, we can ask, I'll answer questions. It is kind of a silent but a tacit understanding with them. And then after that, it was, okay, what position? What made you? Where are you for all that? And then, yeah, it was great. I won my reps. That was cool. A thumb wrestling champion at one bar. I so many oh matches. Yeah. No, there was – I was put through the games and situations, and people wanted to compete. I didn't expect that, and it wasn't, and it wasn't like first white person ever walking through the door. It was way different in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. They opened it back up after COVID. Tons of people, just tons of different cultures, Singapore, Taiwan, tons of Chinese tourists. But yeah, there was definitely some amazement walking the bar. Holy hell, are the seats going to hold up? Oh my God, where is he going to fit? We got to place him because a lot of the bar is very small and you're literally drinking shoulder to shoulder with people. And it's like, all right, I guess we'll try out. And every bar is a test and you just got to see if you're cool. And if you're cool with the bar and you vibe, then it's a great spot. And if you don't vibe, then it's thank you, arigato gozaimasu. And then you pay your check and then you check out another bar. So that was kind of a lot of the interactions, but I had washing my hands all the time because everyone wanted to put their hand up next to my hand and scale it.
Oh my God.
I don't know. There's probably a dozen photos of my shoe next to another shoe of either somebody from Japan or even people from England just taking photos of my feet. That was that was interesting. Just meeting dudes at the bar. Met a dude at the bar with a Duke hat on and a LeBron jersey on, and I think he was from Wales. So whatever we're doing here with sports culture, it's working. There are streets lined with American sports jerseys, American entertainment. The thrift stores are nuts. So it was a good amount of interacting with people. Made some friends. If you think you can handle Japan, you probably can. They're very nice. People are nice there. If you don't think you can handle it, then don't go, because you're probably not going to have a very good time. But if you can, go do it. That's what I'd say. Again, no prostitution. Again. Oh,
thanks for the clarification. I appreciate, though, that this trip kind of panned, and I jokingly kind of made these comments to you, and I think you just breezed past and dismissed them. It went exactly how I could have predicted that you were going to become sort of So just some sort of entertainment attraction. And you even claimed that you're going to be featured on some sort of a Japanese TV show, which I would love to get the footage of that.
I got friends that are, I'm hoping, can tape the interview. I got whatever the channel is. I got that. And I know the date. I'm going to try to have somebody on a DVR for the 12th of April and the 13th of April for when that interview is supposed to air. I right now kind of hoping they cut it, because I don't want my friends to be like, oh, there's Sean. What was he doing in Shibuya talking to them? I don't know what this, I don't know what the platform is, but I was just talking a little bit, you know, I guess a little bit of anime, a little bit of culture. I tried to represent us. Okay. I don't know if they got, there was a lot of underneath shots with the camera, so it just got a whole bunch of bad patch beard, and I had sunglasses on, but they weren't like fully tinted. So I'm sure you could see my eyes through it. And it just, I don't know how the look was, but it was just what we were working with.
Well, I'm glad that you had your spiritual awakening in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Now you can identify as a 16-year-old Japanese girl.
No,
and I'm happy. I'm just kidding. I'm happy that you enjoyed the trip. I'm glad that we're going to get back into the rhythm of things and recording. And any final thoughts before I close out here?
Just final thought. If you want to have an authentic experience over there, like I feel like that I did for the majority of it, at least interacting with people. I did some touristy stuff, but I wasn't.
Wait, tell people to reach out to you because you're the expert.
No, I'm not the expert. Don't go on Reddit, because the answers on Reddit are not experts either. You're just going to find people from Houston that you're talking to. You're going to find just travelers from Australia, which is cool, but once you start meeting travelers from Australia, you kind of get the traveler from Australia bit. But if you want to meet and drink with Japanese people, just start walking into random bars. It's going to be hit or miss. You're going to wake up a bartender from the couch that he's sleeping on, have him pour you a drink, have two drinks, and then leave. I did that. It would just set
a basement bar. What time of night was it?
7 o'clock. He was on empty bar. I just saw it. I'm like, all right, let's just check it out. Walked in. Bartender just chilling on the couch on his phone, kind of taking a little nap, and then I walk in, get a Sapporo, have another Sapporo, and leave. I think he went right back to sleep. That was an awkward one.
I can't keep up with all these random
random
details.
But it's not supposed to be a long, strung out thing. It's just, if you want to go there, have a good time, just start piecing together. Don't stay somewhere too long.
The key to success: be a belligerent drunk.
That helps. I tell you what, it disarms everybody pretty quickly if they see that you can down a drink fast. And then you got Yasu asking you how many beers you drank in a night. He answered, I told him, I think 30. And then it became, I drank with Yasu until 4 a.m. And that's just how it goes.
Well, I'm glad you came back alive.
That's a positive.
That's the important part. Folks, we're going to be back now that Sean's back on a regular basis. At Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio, at Hack City Pod on Twitter. Hit the subscribe button, drop a comment, let us know what you think of today's conversation, and we'll be back with more.